Good morning, gentlemen. So, first of all, I thank the ITP for inviting me to this conference. And before going to my talk, one thing I want to ask you that I have some language difficulty. So when you ask me, please speak slowly. Otherwise, I will be easy to mess. And this work is a joint work with Professor Nakano at Chuo University and my former student now at the NEC are Nagaya and my student Wada and Nakano's PhD student Fukayama. So let me begin with the characteristics of the pressure and the pressure gradient in turbines. So there are many points, but here I mentioned about a few points. So the pressure gradient drives Lagrangian velocity. So when the Reynolds number is very high, the viscous force is almost negligible when compared to the pressure gradient. So in this sense, the pressure gradient is very much responsible for the turbulent diffusion in for a fluid particle. So sometimes the people models that the fluid particle is driven by the random forces as a model of the Brownian type motion. So and then so the pressure gradient is regarded as the random force, and sometimes they assume that the random force is Gaussian. However, the PDF of the pressure gradient in turbines totally different from the Gaussian. So you can see that the PDF of pressure gradients is much different from the Gaussian. So this is a comparison of the PDFs of each term of the Navier-Stokes equation at the steady state. So you can see that the solid curve is very thin. A tail of the PDF is very high and highest among the other PDF. And the PDF of the convective term is the second. And third is that a PDF of pressure the viscous terms. So in this sense, the experimental observed PDF for Lagrangian acceleration obtained by Bodenschatz is totally determined, dominated by the pressure gradient. And in this sense, so the pressure gradient is that the most intermittent in the Navier-Stokes equation. And also, the pressure gradient is the one of the difficulties in the closure problem. So you know that the, when you close the equation for spectral equation, you have to close the pressure terms. So you need some assumption. The same thing can be occurred for the PDF equation for the delta U. So you can see that this, you need some conditional average of the difference of pressure gradient. This is a part of the story of the Yakov talk. So here our goal is that to know the statistical law of the pressure gradient in turbulence. So you know that the P or gradient P is a non-local quantity in physical space because it's given by the weighted sum all over the fluid domains. So that means the large scale, the small scale are closely related in the statistics of the pressure. That means, so the sum quantities, statistics of the pressure or pressure gradient may exhibit a strong Reynolds number dependence. So I'm going to talk about the 3 points. The one is the 1 point statistics of pressure gradient. I'm going to talk about R1 dependence. And the second is that 2 point statistics. But today I'm going to talk about mainly on the about the pressure spectrum, its scaling, and Reynolds number dependence. And the third, I'm going to talk about conditional average of the difference of pressure gradient. So our tool is mainly a DNS. So the equation to be integrated is that incompressible Navier-Stokes equation with unit density. And F is a random force. So usually the type the random force is used and assumed to be Gaussian and white in time and applied low wave number range. Sometimes we use the instability type the forcing. Also, some people use the Gaussian, but the time correlation is governed by the Ornstein-Uhlenbeck process. This type of forcing is used by Yoon and Pope or Bedrat and Yoon. And the last one is that another way of forcing is that they keep the Fourier mode at low wave number range as constant. That is used by the Kao. Next, I do that. All right. So the DNS parameters I'm going to show is that as far as the resolution, it covers the range of 64 cube to 1024 cubic. So I believe that this is the biggest computation right now. And the range of Reynolds numbers is that from 28 to 390, and the highest one is 480. So the most of computation was done at the Riken, but the biggest computation was done at the Nanwon University. So the machine was last December installed, and the VPP 5000 has 32 parallel processors. So we go to the 1-point statistics. So the Kolmogorov theory tells us that normalized variance of pressure and the pressure gradient are independent of Reynolds number. And Batchelor computes these quantities as 0.15 and 3.9 respectively. And he used some joint Gaussian approximation for the fourth order moments of velocity, which appears in the equation for the pressure correlation. So, and maybe some George or Mark computed some correction, but anyway, let's look at the DNS value. And this is a comparison of the F and F grad P available right now. So you can see that the FP is a slightly weakly decreasing function of Reynolds number. And greater than the value computed from the Gaussian theory. And on the other hand, F grad P is an increasing function of Reynolds number and larger than the value, the Gaussian value. So the, you can see that before the distorts are, until last autumn, I was thinking that for the Reynolds number less than 200, so the this increase is almost proportional to square root of Reynolds R lambda. But these graphs show that this value tends to a constant state when the Reynolds number becomes very large. So these are values obtained by Bodenschatz. And I think that today's Bodenschatz data is a little bit around here. So I think that our data seems to be consistent with the experimental data. So the present my understanding is that this behavior is a finite Reynolds number effect. And I expect that this tends to a constant or at least weakly Reynolds number dependent state. That is my present understanding for this quantity. I can't say anything about that. Yeah. Now we look at the pressure spectrum. So if we apply the K41 theory to the pressure spectrum, so we have this scaling. It's a famous scaling. And in the natural range, we have the PK scale as K2 minus 7 thirds. with constant BP. Some experiments claim that pK scale as K2 minus 5 plus, but some other experiments says there is a correction in the exponent. Also, recent DNS with resolution of 512 cubic said that pK scaled as K2 minus 5 plus for lower wave number range. And also, Nagaya, my former student, and I myself proposed a new scaling for higher wave number range, which includes the factor of F grad P. And also, we confirmed that the pK scale as K2 minus 5 plus for lower wave number range. So I think that there, at present, there seems no consensus about the scaling of the pressure spectrum. Someone says pK scale as K2 minus 7 plus, someone says minus 5 plus, which is correct. Or there may be a possibility that both can be coexist with the, in the appropriate, in a, in appropriate wave number range. So previously, Longaro, he already retired, and I'm sorry for his bothering for a while. But anyway, Longaro and myself proposed one story, one possible story to reconcile the K2 minus 7 stars and K2 minus 5 stars. The story is as follows. At large scales, the pK is scaled in terms of large integral scale. And in this range, pK is of the form of K2 minus 7 thirds. And on small scale, pK again is scaled in this form, and of the in this range, pK scaled as K2 minus 5 thirds. And what is the lambda? Lambda P is defined by this equation. So, I mean, the lambda P is the Taylor microscale analog for the pressure field. And lambda and lambda P is related through this equation. So in this story, so the K2 minus 5 star range is regarded as the band, which is observed in the spectra for the energy spectrum. So anyway, look at the spectrum. This is a plot of the spectrum. The upper one, the energy is the energy spectrum in the Kolmogorov unit. So, and also compensated by K2 5 thirds. So you can see that the first, all the curves is well collapsed. And the second, there is a bump, but small bump. And the third, you can see that for the curves of Reynolds number greater than 284, there is a finite portion which is flat, showing that EK is scale as K2 minus 5 stars. For the curve of R lambda 390, the Kolmogorov constant is measured at as 1.58. And curves for R lambda 480, we found that K0 is 1.71. So this value is very consistent with the value compared with Srinivasan, I think. Now we look at the pressure spectrum. This is plotted in terms of the Kolmogorov units and with compensation by K2 7 thirds. So there are several points to be noted. So first, the collapse of the curves is not good at the case of the energy spectrum. The second, for the curves of Reynolds number 390 or smaller, there is no portion of which is flat. However, when we look at the spectrum of the R lambda 480, there is a finite portion, small but finite flat portion, which suggests that pK scale as K2 minus 7 thirds. So, and this part can be looked at as a bump. So So if I apply this formula to the pressure spectrum, the dT is measured as 4.48. I believe that this is the first.
You are referring to the same region of the number for both southwards and southwards. And you show southwards from the south.
And? What? I'm coming back to the next point. Okay. Anyway. It's EK, this is. Alright. No problem. And I don't know the experimental value for the dP, but anyway, this is just the difference for you. Now, so I want to examine the scenario described by Rogan and myself, whether the pK scaled as k eta and k l and something like that. Now, this is a plot of pK in terms of Kolmogorov microscale and the inclusion of the factor of f grad p. So you can see that the high wave number range, the collapse of the curves seems to be okay. But the for lower wave number range, it is not. So anyway, this special wave number range, the scaling using the f grad p seems to be reasonable. Now, let us look at the scaling of the spectra in terms of integral scale. So I plotted the pK in terms of L. This is the compensation k to 5/3 and k to 7/3. So you can see that the collapse of the curves at low wave number range seems to be okay. And so the remaining point is that how these ranges match each other. So I try to plot the spectrum in terms of lambda p. So you can see that all the curves contact each other at almost the same wave number. Lambda 1. K lambda is around 1.5 over 2. So then the another point to be noted is that for the curve of 480, lambda 480, and the range of the k to minus 7/3 and 5/3, a transition occurs around here. So these graphs seems to mean that these graphs support the scenario that I proposed. So here, our conjecture, DNS conjecture, is that as follows. When the Reynolds number becomes large and large, so the K41 scaling pressure spectrum may appear at the wave number range less than the Kp or lambda p inverse. And the previously observed k to minus 5/3 can be regarded as a BAMP. This is a present conjecture. But I have to say that the curves of the R lambda 480, the averaging time is relatively shorter than the other curves. But in my experience, I believe that the existence of k to minus 5/3 range is a real physics. That's my understanding. Of course, we need a more sample size, and we need them carefully. Mostly, for the 390 curve, so the 1 over time, but the blue one, green one, 480, it's about 0.2 turnover times. It's a very money-eating monster, this computation. Now, we go to the conditional average of the difference of pressure gradient. So, we denote the velocity difference as W. Now, let us consider the equation for the PDF of the velocity difference. So the equation becomes of this form. So the problem is that this quantity, this quantity is that conditional average of dW dt for fixed value of W. So it contains four terms, the convection, pressure gradient, the viscous term, and the forcing. So here our concern is that pressure term, pressure gradient term. So before going to look at the DNS data, we need the difference to which the DNS data can be compared. So as a reference, we consider the conditional average of the pressure gradient for the Gaussian velocity field. In this case, we assume that Gaussian velocity field has the same energy spectra with that of the actual Navier-Stokes equation. So in this case, the velocity difference is also Gaussian. Now let us, Y and Y2 are the multivariate Gaussian. So in this case, we can write down exactly the joint PDF of Y and Y2 in this way. This is exact. And D is a positive definite matrices, and D is fixed by the correlation of Y and Y2. Then, the conditional PDF of Y1 for fixed value of Y2 is given by this equation. These are very simple definition and simple. And the result is that the conditional average of difference of pressure gradient for fixed value of W is given by this equation for the Gaussian velocity field. The point is that this conditional average is given by the quadratic function of W. It's a velocity difference. The point is that a quadratic function, and the C0 and the C2 is three by three matrices and the function of the separation R. So depending on R and depending on component, so the coefficients can be zero or not non-zero. Now, let's look at the DNS data. These are part of the data obtained by DNS. So general feature of these graphs are as follows. When the separation becomes increases, the systematic part of the curves becomes shorter and shorter and shorter, shorter and shorter. And for these parts, the curves have the large fluctuations. This fluctuation comes due to the fact that the sample size is not enough for large value of delta U, and due to the normalization. So, and the second feature of these curves are when the separation becomes increases, then the curvature of these curves or slopes becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. This is a general tendency. So, but some of the curves have, these are looks like the parabolic, and this is hard to say, but seems to have some higher order terms in delta V. But here, we are concerning about just this figure, because this quantity, conditional average of difference of pressure gradient for fixed value of delta U, appears in the equation for longitudinal equation, delta U. That's why I'm...
Delta U normalized
by standard deviation. Yes, of course. Yes, I'll come back to this part. So, DNS data is taken at the lambda 390, and all the difference is taken along the x direction. And all the quantities are normalized in the same unit, their standard deviation. Oh, and the, we have this these plots. But let's look at the close-up of the this quantity. So you can see that the most of curves cross the horizontal axis almost at the delta U equal plus minus 1. And the next, another point to be noted is that when separation becomes large, then peak point moves in this direction. So now we consider the functional form of conditional average of this quantity. Let's take the first first step. We use the the quadratic function, which is derived from the Gaussian velocity field. By the homogeneity, so we have this constraint. On the other hand, this average is written in terms of QU. This is exact. But now we substitute this equation into this one, we have this one. This term is 1 because Q is normalized. And this quantity is 1 because large U is normalized to be 1. This gives this one. That means this function, this conditional average is of the form. This explains why all the curves cross the horizontal axis at the plus minus 1. And also, we observe from the DNS that the C0R is a decreasing function. Therefore, that means when R increases, the C0R, that is the peak, becomes, when R becomes large, then peak becomes smaller, and curvature becomes smaller. That means curves move this way. This explains what we observe in the DNS. And this is a simplest form. Now we consider one approximation. So we introduce the linear term. Now the same constraint gives the same relation. And now we consider the Kalman-Hausdorff equation for just one component in delta U. Then we have this relation. The right-hand side comes from the from the forcing term. The Kf is a forcing wave number, and A is a positive constant of order 1. Anyway, substitute this equation to this one, we have this one. But this is 0, and this is 1. And for the inertial energy separation, we can use the four-fifth law. Then this relation gives this equation. Here, the K1 is, that, is a Kolmogorov constant in the real space. So the result is that a little bit shifted quadratic function of U. So A0 is a positive constant. That means the peak moves to into a negative side. And A1R is a decreasing function of R. That means when R separation becomes larger, then peak moves this way. This is also, again, consistent with the observation of the DNS data. So, I'll finish. This is an example of the fitting, quadratic fitting to the observed DNS data. The separation is taken at the upper inertial range. So you can see that the coefficient of the linear term is very small. I think that this fitting works quite well. And last figure. Now, let's look at the each term of Navier-Stokes equation through the conditional average. So this is the conditional average of convection term and pressure gradient. You can see that the action of the pressure, the role of the pressure gradient is opposite to that of the convection term. So this part kills this one, this part kills this one. Then resulting result is like this one. And in the steady state, this quantity must balance with the, must balance the viscous term. So this is the Navier-Stokes dynamics through the point of view of the conditional average. So let me conclude my talk. The first, normalized pressure gradient tends to a finite of constant value when Reynolds number becomes large. And the second I skip. The third is the case Kolmogorov constant is found to be 1.58. And the BP is approximately 4.48. And DNS conjectures that PK scalars k to minus 7 stars for lower wave number range. And the higher wave number range scalars in this way. But I'm not sure if the uniform scaling for pressure exists or not. It's a future problem. I skip the five. The six, pressure acts to compensate the convective time. And quadratic function in delta U is a good approximation for this conditional average. For other quantities, we haven't done much yet. So we need more analysis. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
mm-hmm. Usually it increases the force power, one force power of the Reynolds number. I agree. So, for example, the sum of the data show that the this is a plot of the delta V and delta V, delta U and delta V. So, as a first approximation, this looks like a linear. But when we look at the curves in the more wide sense, so we can see that some cubic order correction. Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Let me. Let me show one picture. Okay. But maybe some of the people want to see, look at the structure function of the P. Here's the data. So this is the second order structure function. The exponent here is at 0.945. It's not the four third, not two thirds, the between. Now also, the higher order structure function looks like scalars in the same exponent. We need more care. But this shows that suggests that the scaling of the pressure structure function may have the one scaling exponent. But I can't say the detail. Just these data just obtained a week ago, so we need more analysis. As for the CZR, so far I haven't derived any analytic form of function of R. So what I can say is that it looks like a smooth function of R, but we need more information. And the second question, I forgot. I think that the linear piece would be there, but maybe small, but depending on the quantities.